We're reading chapter 4 of Ephesians, this text we began several weeks ago. We'll read the latter part of it this time. This whole passage actually begins in verse 17, where Paul calls us to walk worthy of the walk with which we have been called. Verse 20 says, "We have not been taught to walk the way the world walks, but the way Jesus calls us to walk." And in verse 26, he says, "Therefore, put off or take off your old, your former, your previous conduct. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And today I'd like to talk to us about the new man, and to look at the new man as a man that lives his life righteously and in holiness. That's quite a task, to try to portray to you what God is trying to say here, and then your job, obviously, to try to live that way. But Paul is describing to us our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a new relationship. It's something totally different than anything the world can present to us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite passages in Scripture relating to salvation, Paul says, "Anybody that is in Jesus Christ is a new creation." We understand God's first creation. God created the universe. God created everything when there was nothing. There's this theory of evolution that's called the Big Bang Theory. It says that everything was compressed into something the size of the head of a needle. Those of you ladies that have needles or pins that you sew. All the energy, the whole universe as we know it, they tell us it was all compressed together into the size of a pin, and it exploded. And then millions and millions of years later, certain chemicals came together and formed a cell, and that cell miraculously began to divide, and it turned into some sort of living cell that lived in the ocean, and at some point it came out of the ocean and it grew hands and feet and began to breathe, and then eventually man appeared out of all of this. Scripture tells us that God created everything out of nothing, when there was nothing there, when only God existed. And the same with our life. Spiritually speaking, we are born dead in our sins and trespasses. We are born and we receive the sinful nature of Adam. There is nothing spiritual, nothing eternal about us. It doesn't exist. And God creates a new spiritual being. Not only that, he calls us his children. He says, "I am your spiritual father," and he blesses us, chapter 1 of Ephesians, with all the spiritual blessings he has. And he says, "Not only will I give you my name," not only does God adopt us, but he makes us his heirs. An heir is somebody that inherits all the riches and everything that a person has. When we come to Jesus Christ, our previous life ends. I assume everybody's been to a funeral. We come to a funeral because somebody has died. And our old spiritual, or our old self that Paul is describing, it's dead. It hasn't died. It's always been dead. It has to be born. It doesn't have life yet. In verse 22, Paul says, "Put off concerning your former conduct." This word in the Greek means to take off your old, worn out, dirty, torn clothes and put on the new clothes that Jesus Christ offers you. This is a picture of salvation. Some of you maybe have heard about rescue missions that deal with people that live on the street. They usually are pretty dirty and grubby and ugly looking sometimes, and they smell bad and their clothes are torn. And sometimes they go to get a shower and a meal at this place called a rescue mission. And physically, they take them through this process there where they have to go in, and before they can mix with the other people there, they have to remove their old clothes, which goes into the incinerator and gets burned. It's destroyed. And instead, they go and they get a shower, and they're treated chemically with special chemicals to kill off any infection they may have. And then they're given new clothes or clean clothes to put on. And then they can go and they can have a meal with the rest of the people there. And then they get to sleep there at night. And of course, there's a service there that night when the gospel is presented to them. That symbolizes spiritually what God can do to them and compares it to what they've had physically done to us. And when Paul here says, put off your old lifestyle, he's not describing something that we can do to ourselves. Salvation is not going and taking a spiritual bath and cleaning yourself up. Salvation is what God does for us. But this process, this picture, verse 22, our former conduct or our lifestyle or the way we used to live, taking it off, removing it, symbolizes to us what God does to us. Isaiah tells us that our clothes before God are like our spirituality. It's non-existent. It's useless to God. When we come to Jesus Christ, our old life, our old self, everything about our previous life that is outside of Jesus Christ is useless. In Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, outside the city, there was this place that was called Gehenna. This was literally, this was the city of Jerusalem's refuge pile. It was their garbage dump. We live in a modern society where they come every week or twice a week and they pick up the things that we put outside by the sidewalk. The things we no longer need, the things we don't want, the things that are rotten and corrupt and spoiled. We throw it all away and the city comes and it takes it out someplace and disposes of it. In the time and the culture of Jesus, they had this place and people would take all of their garbage over there. And so that there wouldn't be infection and so that some of these things would not get into the water supply that was very critical at that time for Jerusalem because it was a desert climate. It was very dry. There was very little water. Remember when Jesus met the woman at the well? The women had to go to the well to get good, clean water for their household. They couldn't get it from the river outside that maybe gets contaminated. But there was a fire there in this dump. And the people that worked there, they would continuously put things in a fire to burn them up. And spiritually speaking, when God removes all of the filthiness from our life, it goes into this God's spiritual fire in the lake of fire where it gets all burned up. Our former self, our old self, is useless for God. The only good for our former self that is not a spiritual being, that is not born again, is the lake of fire that God has prepared, not for people, but for Satan and those people that follow him. And so spiritually speaking, we've got this example that Paul is using that everybody that read this text, read this letter in the church of Ephesus would understand what Paul is talking about. But the point Paul is trying to tell us is that just like we remove old clothes and have no need for them, in the very same way, God has no need in his kingdom. In the place where God lives, in heaven, there is no need and no place for somebody that has not been born again. And Scripture is clear. It tells us that unless a person has been born again and has been given the clothes of righteousness that Jesus Christ gives to us through salvation, through the gift of grace, without this new attire, without this new dress, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. And instead of that, you're only useful to be thrown into the lake of fire. Further here, as we read, Paul says that the old man, our old lifestyle, it grows corrupt. Grows corrupt, the word corrupt in the Greek talks about a body in a tomb, in a grave, that is disintegrating. A dead body has no life to it and very quickly becomes corrupt. It smells bad. You never open up a tomb because of the contamination and it's full of death. And so Paul says that our old lifestyle, it's growing corrupt. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Humanly speaking, we do not become better in our life. The only way we can change is when God changes us, when God removes from us our old self. And Paul says that we are growing corrupt, or our very physical nature, it's corrupt because of the deceitful lusts that we have. Now, a place of the dead is a place where the living people do not go. Is that right? Unless we go to the cemetery for a funeral. Remember, we're going to celebrate Easter in 2 weeks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when the women come to the tomb, they're greeted by a shining, brilliant angel dressed in what? In white clothes. And the tomb is empty, and the stone is rolled away, and there's no body in there. Now, for 3 days, there was a dead body in there. But now it's full of life. The angel is in there, and the women come, and what does the angel say? He says, "Why do you look for the living in the place of the dead?" Now, we are the church of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, I hope, here has been born again. If you haven't been born again, God is calling you into his family. But those of us that constitute and make up the body of Jesus Christ, we are in the place of the living. And let me ask you a question. Do your old friends and the people you used to associate with in your old life, before you came to Jesus Christ, do they come looking for you in the place of death? Or is your life transformed, and are you now in the kingdom of God's life? Or are you still living back in the world where all the dead people are? Where is your life as a Christian today? Are you with God's people in God's church? Are you acting? Are you walking, like Paul says, worthy of the walking with which God has called you? A holy calling, a worthy calling. Or are you still hanging around with your old friends in the world? In the dirt and the corruption and the deceitful lusts. Deceitful is the word that describes Satan when he came to the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was the place of life. It was a place that God created. It was a beautiful place. It was a good place. It was the place that God said was very good. Not just good, but very good. And God planted Adam and Eve there. And into the sinless holy place comes Satan. And it says he was deceitful. He lied. He deceived Eve. You know, before we come to Jesus Christ, Paul tells us that our old life, it's deceitful. It lies to us and only wants to take us into his kingdom. You know, our old nature, our old self, our old man is deceitful. There's nothing beautiful, there's nothing good about a dead body. It's dead. And yet it is so deceitful that we want to go and hang around dead bodies, old people that are not in Jesus Christ. Satan wants us, drag us back into this thing. You see how deceitful sin is. Although we want to live for God, it deceives us and it pulls us. Just like addiction, if you've known anybody that has a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or maybe something else in their life that they can't break loose from. See, you can know mentally, you can know that it is wrong. But it's deceitful. And Paul says, put it off. Get rid of it. Again, God does that for us. It's not something we do ourselves. But once God saves us, God expects us to live like his children. You know, the prodigal son, he ended up in the pig pen. But he didn't stay there. He got up and he went back to his father's house. You may have sinned this week. You may have fallen into sin. Have you repented of it? Have you confessed your sin? Have you come back to the Lord? Hey, are you back in fellowship with him? If not, God says, confess your sin. And then get up and keep going. Go to the Father's house. The Father calls you. He wants to have fellowship with you. When that happens, verse 23, our mind is renewed. You begin to think in a new way. Christians think differently than the world thinks. The world can't think the way Christians think because the basis of our thinking is the Word of God. We talked about that in Bible Hour a little bit this morning. Paul, in Romans 12, says, be transformed, or let your mind be transformed, changed, and let it conform to the Word of God. Our thinking, the way we act, the way we talk, has to conform to Scripture. And Paul says, it's a renewal of our mind. It's new. This new man, it's not like the old man. And it's in the spirit of our mind. Verse 24, it says, put on. Put off the old, put on the new. What is the new? What is the new clothes that we have? It's righteousness and holiness. You know, righteousness, very basically we can summarize it. If we look at the Old Testament and we look at Exodus 20 and we look at the law, the Ten Commandments that God gives his people. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. You will have no other gods besides me. You will worship only the Lord your God. You will not make graven images of God. You will not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Our relationship with God is our holiness. Holy living. Sinless living. Righteousness is all the other commandments that talk to us about our relationship with our human family, with human beings. Okay? And Paul says, this is the new lifestyle that we are to live. He goes on, beginning with verse 25, and he starts talking about specific things. You know, it's amazing that Paul would have to tell us that we're not supposed to hang around with the people that we used to hang around with. It's amazing in verse 25, Paul says that we are to stop lying. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to know? You're not supposed to lie. You're not supposed to do all these things he's talking about. But yet Paul finds it necessary to remind us of these things, to keep it before our mind, just like God told in Deuteronomy, he told Israel, this law that I have given you, you will keep it before your eyes. When you get up, when you lay down, when you go out, when you come back in your house, when you walk with your children, when you sit with your family, you will meditate on the Word of God. It'll always be before you. And that's what God is calling us today. God is reminding us. Although we know these things as Christians, although we know that we got to put off the old and put on the new, God is calling us to this renewal in our life. And if you're not practicing this in your life, that's what God's calling you to practice in your life. Practice living and to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called you. May God bless his word. Amen.